For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony. Andrea, get your ducks in a row, Blaze.
Susie, going toe to Tobin.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Denise Still, crazy after all these years.
Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm also on the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, which is out now. And here I am with my gorgeous, talented BFF and co-host, the spectacular Ben Mandekula. Hello, Ben Mandelker. How you doing, babes?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing so good.
Did you survive Pride weekend here in Los Angeles?
I sure did. I remained proud, which, you know, is a lot more than I can say for some of the people in this neighborhood. There were some barfing. Fainting,
oh, yeah?
Falling over in bushes, messy ass queens up in here, Ben.
Wow. Well, that's part of being proud is being messy. Being messy is being proud.
Yes. We don't even need street sweeping today. We just need queen cleaning, okay? It needs to be a big truck just coming and cleaning up all the queens off the street, okay? It's over, queens. Get up.
Yes. Well, I unfortunately missed all the Pride festivities the entire weekend, but, you know, sometimes that just happens. You know, I still had a lovely, lovely time. Nonetheless, I made a pearl barley salad. And honestly, that was, I feel like, the gayest thing I could have done.
That's pretty gay. Chewy grain type thing.
I liked it. I never made barley before. I was like, I like the texture of this barley.
Barley's very, very tough for me. It's a little dense. Okay, barley.
You know who also was having a good Pride weekend? Kim Zolciak. She released a new song called Wig. Did you hear that?
I did. I did not hear the song, but I heard that she released it.
You know what Wig spells backwards? Gew. As in, gew. I don't want to hear any more of that.
Gew.
Gew.
Quick shills. We have our own gay pride coming up in San Francisco. We'll be doing Southern Charm live. And before that, we'll be in Phoenix. Yeah, we've got like a week to go, eh?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's still a few weeks away, but it's actually not. Like today, when we're recording is the 11th, our show is next week in Phoenix and then 2 days later in San Francisco. It's getting down to the wire here. So if you want to get if you're on the fence, you better unfence yourself.
Yeah, get off the fence, Wilson. Losers. Come on.
Yeah.
Speaking of, happy Tony Award winning
That's
play.
What I did. I knew I did something super gay. Fences. I watched the Tonys.
Get off your fences.
Once on this podcast. Mm-hmm. No, for real, you should come to the show. It's going to be super fun. We're talking about Real Housewives of New York next week, which, I mean, come on. And then 2 days later, Southern Charm. Southern Charm is so – I hate to say the word lit because I feel like it's overused. But this season has been lit. And I don't think we've ever seen this sort of response on Southern Charm before from our recaps and all the seasons. I mean, every Southern Charm recap we're doing, we're getting people just – they are fired up. So let's all be fired up together in San Francisco.
Yes, and our shirt for the month is What's the Matter? What's going on? What's happening? Bethany's assistant shirt. So to get that, just go over to watchwhatcrappens.com, the same place that you find links to my tickets. Isn't that convenient?
That's so convenient.
So today we have Real Housewives of Potomac. Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, yeah. Potomac, on continuing its role of just on it being on its role of just being hilariously petty. They finally found their voice. I'm so proud of it.
Yes, their petty voice. Their petty charity voice.
Yeah. And so it starts off with Karen and Ray going to some place called Restaurant Eve, which is not to be confused with Summer's Eve. and they're approaching, and Karen's like, "Oh, how romantic, Ray. Down a dark pathway. I'm all for it, Ray. I'm all for it, Ray."
"Yes, Ray, you can take me to Eve, which, you know, happened to be made from Adam's rib, otherwise known as Ray's rib. And speaking of Ray, you're in charge today, Ray. You're in charge. You can order for me. You can take me down a dark alleyway. Whatever you want, Ray. Don't order like that, Ray. You're doing it wrong, Ray." Like, Jesus Ray. Christ.
And, Karen's like, "You know, when your hands are tied because you're not business partners, you worry about your partner. So sometimes it's good to have a dinner with your partner who has a totally different bank account than you, and you're totally unaware of what their tax issues are. You're totally, totally unrelated, but you can come together over lobster and sea bass, which is ordered for you."
God, every sentence of Karen's is like, either I work like, you know, I work more than anybody I know, or I had nothing to do with Ray's crazy little misstep.
Yeah.
His $11 million misstep or whatever. How many millions? It was like a lot.
It's a lot.
And she can't get away from it because a poor waitress comes over and she's like, "Are you Karen and Ray?" She's like, "Yes, we are." And they're like, "You've been served, you know."
"Yes, I know. That's your job." And so Ray's like, "So what's good here?" And they're like, "Well, we have a really good tuna tartare." He's like, is that the uncooked stuff?" I'm like, "Ray, you are too old to be asking that question. I'm sorry. You wear a blazer to sleep, okay? You cannot be wearing that many blazers and not know what tartare is."
I know. And Karen's disgusted. And he's like, "Well, I've had that experience with the tartar before." And she's like, "That was tartar. Okay. It was like when we pulled teeth and there were tartar all over them, baby. Why you do that? I think you're jealous because I'm working now and you don't have all of my attention." You are not working.
What work? What work? What are you working on? "Oh, you know me. I'm just a career gal now." I'm like, "Wait. You know me, like 9 to 5. What a way to make a living, right, Ray?"
"Dun, dun, 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 hey, Ray."
"Dun, dun, 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 Ray."
"Well, you know, I've started a gala called Oh Gala for my mother-in-law. You know, I will work tirelessly until we find a cure for whatever it is that we're supposed to be finding a cure for."
Yeah.
Alzheimer's and bad sense.
On the O. Huger charity.
Oh, is it called O. Huger?
Yeah, O. Huger. It's like the O. Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's like an Irish thing. Like, "Oh, Patty O. Huger." But it's actually like the O. Because she had like the O Foundation or something. Or maybe it's O. I don't know. How about she puts the O in I don't know. And she's been working behind the scenes. AKA, you've just been working on it. I'm like, change your semantics, ma'am.
You got to love that she's just getting people to come by calling it the O Gala. It's like, okay, yeah. No, people are showing up. Like, where's Oprah? At least give us some Gail.
And if you look at the signage later in the episode, the O's in quotes, like, we don't really mean this is for an O. It's actually for a Q.
The O Gala.
I don't know. Well, she had, I mean, her first gala that she had in her living room was also the same thing. It was O. And I don't remember if O, I mean, it may have stood for like one of her relatives. I don't remember. Maybe it was a nickname for someone. But either way, I just love that she's like, "Well, I'm working so hard on this charity gala that I'm just mentioning now over some sea bass," which, by the way, I'm very happy, Ray. This is great sea bass. It tastes like a bass that came right from the sea, like a shoe, a leathery shoe that you might find in an outlet. But instead it comes from the sea. It's a sea bass.
"Oh, well, bless Alzheimer's and sense. That's what we're bringing the world, Ray." And he's like, "Well, you have a lot on you now." She's like, "Yes, I know. So much pain." "No, sense. You've got a lot of sense on you." "Well, I'm just trying out a lot of different things, Ray. I am O, after all."
"Ray, there's so many forks on the table. Anyway, so my mom, she's died. They thought she had dementia. She has Alzheimer's. It's just, you know, it's terrible losing her. You don't want to ever lose your mother. It's a terrible thing, Ray." And Ray's just sitting there just like munching on his sea bass. Like, it's like falling out of his mouth. And she's like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to make fun of Karen for mourning the loss of her mom. It's terrible. And like, Alzheimer's, would not wish that on anyone. But she's like crying, and he's like, it's like broccoli's falling out of his mouth.
He goes, "We don't have to talk about it again." It's like, oh, geez.
He's like, let me just enjoy this. Yeah. And then she's like, I mean, I am just grateful for working on my fragrance line and launching the Oh Hugo charity line because it's a distraction from everything else going on in my life. I'm like, how is a charity about your mom a distraction about your mom?
Oh, Karen. She's like, Alzheimer's and my sense. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Where's
so
that
gross.
British lady? Where's that British lady? What was her name again? I've already forgotten her name. And I was like, she's iconic. And I can't remember her name.
Matt's mom.
Yeah. What was her name again?
I don't remember. Flora. She's like, ladies.
Matt, get control. Get control of Karen. She's having too much sea bass. Matt.
So Ashley goes shopping with Jiz next. And Ashley's like,
well, our friend is putting on an event, which is a big deal to her.
Yeah.
Which is just such a funny way to ask for a gift. Like, we have a delusional person. What do we get here? Do you have scrunchies?
Do you have scrunchies? Yes, they're talking about, actually, Robin and Monique's rival charity events that are happening the same night. And basically, Ash is saying how when she went bowling with the Samuels, Monique was recruiting her hardcore to come to her event. And they're like, oh, whoa, which didn't seem that bad to me.
Yeah.
But whatever.
God forbid you ask somebody to come to your event. Giselle is just totally... Well, first of all, she's like, Robin, I have known Robin forever, and she was down to nothing, and now she's up to something. And she just keeps, like, every time they come on screen, it's Robin's like, I was poor, and now I'm not, and I want to show women, you can be poor and then not poor anymore. And Giselle's like, she is not poor anymore! Like, people are nuts.
The best thing that came out of this was a flashback to Karen, because last episode Karen was like, no, I know I texted you saying yes, I'm gonna go, but what actually happened was I told Siri, yay, I'm gonna go see Jurassic World on June 22nd, and it said, yay, I'm coming to your event. So it was clearly a mistake. Siri, blame Siri. But then we see a flashback of Karen at that party where Monique's like, you want to come to my thing? Karen's like, oh shit, I want to go, but I already said yes to Robin. I'll figure something out. So it's like caught red-handed, you know?
Yes. Karen is such a liar. Also, speaking of liars, Giselle has a company called True Hue Beauty, which celebrates all the different shades of a black woman's skin, which I think, you know, good for you. And that's a good business, and that's why you're in Target. That's a good business. Now, that said, she's wearing the wrong color makeup on her face. There's a line...
Let me tell you something.
There's like a literal line on her jawline. Like, what the hell?
Let me tell you something. This is bigger than Giselle, okay? Because I was thinking about this last night because I was actually watching Your Husband is Cheating on Us. And this was happening to a lot of the people there. And I realized it's happening on Dorinda's face right now. It's happening on Sonia's face. It's happening on Carol's face. It's happening on a lot of people's faces.
It's the contour movement?
It's not just contouring. It's like... people are putting yellow on their face. What else was I watching this weekend? I was watching something else on Bravo. Full on yellow face going out. You know what I'm blaming it squarely on one thing and one thing only. Priv. The in-house makeup company that is owned by Comcast, which is why it's always showing on these shows, because it's a Comcast company and they want to funnel people towards the Priv app. Well, guess what? Since Priv has come on the scene, all our favorite stars have yellow faces, okay? It's like this putrid yellow anchor lady makeup. It's not right. It doesn't look proper. And it's disgusting. It's like they all stuck their face into a vat of like poor quality caramel. You know, it's just, it's got to stop.
I love your Priv rebellion. I love it.
Well, it's just that you're making all our stars look ridiculous. Is anyone even looking at these women before they go on camera? I mean, they just are like, it's like those old cartoons, like those Disney cartoons where they show someone about to like get made up. And there's usually like some birds or some elves or whatever. They come to a lady and they just like smash her face with like powder. It's like, and then like, there you go. You're ready. That's what Priv is doing.
Well, that makes sense, actually, now that you say it. Because I'm like, how is a makeup maven wearing the wrong color face?
It's like Comcast is forcing her. Comcast, it's a conspiracy theory. I like my conspiracy theories because they are really about, like, kind of like benign, petty things. Like, I'm not one of these people that's like, Hillary Clinton had a sex slave ring outside of a pizzeria. I'm like, that affects an election. Mine is just like, this affects my TV viewing experience.
You're like, which Hillary Clinton lost that election because of Priv, okay? People couldn't trust her face.
I'm not taking that off the table. Okay, so here's the thing. all these women have, it's like weird, it's a weird shade of like yellow, green, gold. It's sort of, you can't even put your finger on what the color is. I'm just going to call it priv yellow, okay? Because that's what they all have on their face now.
It's like jaundice.
It is jaundice.
It's like priv jaundice. Jaundice, yeah.
Prondice.
So Ashley's like, why would Karen turn her back on Robin? Okay, do you guys not remember 2 weeks ago when you all showed up to mock Karen's tax problems?
Exactly.
And Robin kind of helped lead that charge with Giselle. And then do you remember
this show has the shifting alliances on this show are more fleeting than on Atlanta. Atlanta usually has the most amnesia about, you know, fights and petty, you know, like people who are fighting or something are allied up. Like Atlanta is really quick. This show, I mean, you always have like Giselle and Karen are always getting into a big fight, and it's like, Karen's my girl. It's like, well, Giselle, no, we go back far. So, you know, I'll always have her back. And then they're fighting again. Yeah. It's like, do you remember? Did these ladies remember anything?
They don't remember. I don't know if it's just all shot out of sequence or what, but they don't remember 5 minutes ago.
And I don't think they even care. They're like, whatever, I want to be mad about something.
And the best thing is that it's the She Is Empowered charity brawl where they're all just turning on women. You know, it's like all just shitting on women right after your event called Empowering Women. It's like,
exactly,
assholes. So Monique and Chris are over there, and Chris is like, come with me, Melody.
Melody, do you want to feed the fish?
The fish are just turning belly up. He's like, damn it, I spoke too close to the tank again. Their little brains are exploding in the tank.
Oh, I'm like utterly fascinated by his voice. Like, I actually would love just hear him to talk for like, I want to hear him talk for 5 minutes because his voice is so deep and so like resonant. I'm like fascinated. I just want to hear it, you know?
Baby.
So Kendall shows up, the new girl, and Monique's just all innocent. Like, oh, I met Kendall through Charisse, and I had no idea she was the ex-wife of Giselle's current girlfriend. Had no idea. Or boyfriend, rather.
No, she says she knows, but what Monique says is, well, I became friends with Kendall through Charisse, but out of respect for Giselle, I don't invite Kendall into spaces where Giselle will be out of respect. Out of respect. Yes, Monique. So respectful. So Kendall shows up and she's like, hey, what's going on? They go for a walk and she's like, yeah, divorce is hard, but marriage is harder, especially when you're married to someone like Sherman, you know? And then
Monique is complaining about her dog. She's like, this dog will just walk right in front of you and cut you off. Why would you name your dog Zool? That's like the demon from Ghostbusters.
The dog is named Zool?
Yeah. The dog's name is Zool. I started cracking up. I was like, well, of course it's Zool. Evil. You're like, I named my dog Satan, and it's just not nice to me. I don't know why. Names mean
things. I named my dog Damien's Guardian. I don't know. He's been, like, looking at me creepy ever since.
So Kendall's like, oh, God, I've walked in this park before. And she's like, huh, what, you were married to Sherman? So, and then she, of course, brings up the park thing, which is like, oh, my God.
So then, meanwhile, back at the other store, Giselle and Ashley are still together. And Ashley's asking Giselle, like, how Sherman is, what's going on. Giselle's like, we're done. He has stopped talking to me, you know? And so
I need someone who totally supports me. Like, you totally outed him in People magazine after he asked you not to. So stop being
No. The People magazine thing, I don't buy that. Like,
well, that's what she said. The fight is.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, like, I'm not saying, well, you totally outed him on People magazine. He showed up on the reunion last season.
Yeah, I shouldn't say outed him. I should say he doesn't want to be in People magazine, and you put him in People magazine.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, all of a sudden now he wants privacy after, like, he's dating a Real Housewife.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Sure. No, sure. I'm not gonna defend Sherman on this situation.
You don't need to.
Thank you. Thank you for walking me off the ledge. I was almost about to have a priv jaundice rant again. Only room for one of those.
Sherman will not come out until they found his true shade. He's like, I will not be there if Priv is there. Like, Sherman's like our imaginary hero standing against Priv.
So, so basically Giselle's going on about the whole situation, and Ashley says to us that she's not going to tell Giselle about what she learned about Sherman last week, which was that he was in the park after dark with a prostitute, you know, and that's why Kendall broke up with him. So she's like, out of respect for Giselle, I'm not going to say it because she's already down as much. She's already feeling down in the dumps, etc. Yeah,
the second housewife to say out of respect, right? Yeah. In a row, which they're also full of shit and I love it. So back to Kendall and Monique. Kendall's like, well, you know, we broke up once before. And Monique goes, the park in the dark, sitch.
She's like, yes. But the thing is that Kendall actually knows Giselle. Kendall knows Giselle basically through Charisse. And Kendall's sort of pissed because Giselle never called her to be like, oh, we're dating or anything like that. And the way that Kendall found out is that her son was over at Sherman's house. And was like, oh, mom, your friend was at dad's house. And that's how Kendall found out.
Yes, and Monique's like, that's forbidden territory, dating a friend's husband or ex-husband, which I don't know how I feel about that. Obviously, yeah, they're not that good of friends. I mean, what, a guy gets divorced and he's completely off the market forever?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the status of their friendship is. I don't know. I also feel like I would sort of be in the mindset, it sounds like Sherman's not such a great guy, and if I were Kendall, I'd be like, huh, good luck with that bitch, you know?
Yeah,
Enjoy going to the park.
Once again, we're on this show going, look who you're fighting over.
Okay? Yeah.
Look who you're fighting over, guys.
Sherman.
So then Robin is setting up her event, and she's like, okay, when Hooters gets here, tell them to put the ranch on that table. God, this is hard work. After losing everything, then I built towards something, and then I had nothing, but now I have something. And I want to show other women that they don't have to go through what I went through, and to show them it's going to cost $25.
Yeah, it's all about helping women realize that they can create empires. I'm like, all you've done is upgrade to a room with an ensuite, okay? That's not an empire.
Well, like, you've got five more square feet in your house, okay?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course, listen, I'm always going to support something that's going to say, hey, like, if it's going to empower women and make them feel inspired to be entrepreneurs or whatever when they felt like they couldn't because of whatever, you know, whatever issues the society has brought upon them, great. But I just think it's funny that Robin is all talking about like empires and empowerment when, like, I'm like, girl, you just like, you upgraded to like another condo in the same place. Like, it's like me being like, oh, well, I moved from a one bedroom to a two bedroom, so I'm gonna have a seminar now to talk about like how you too can run a Fortune 500 company. It's like, like, earn it a little more.
Yeah, I don't think she really understands what she's doing. And then Monique's over at her charity, like, well, I'm going to raise money against growths. You know, moles. What are we going to do about moles? It's like, well, it's Human Growth Foundation, okay? It's not about growths. It's about growth disorders.
Yeah, and I don't remember if it was right now or not. I may be out of order. When they showed back and forth, the two, like, both women talking, I will say this. What was funny is that Monique was her big moment was basically like, I am so honored to be here to welcome you all to this. And now our guest of honor, Dr. What's-His-Face. I was like, oh, you're just introducing someone. All this is because you're introducing someone. At least Robin, as much shit as I just talked about 2 seconds ago, at least Robin, we saw her, and she actually was like, she was trying to motivate people. And I'm not going to ding her for that. You know,
she rented out a back room in a David Buster's. Like, she made some kind of effort.
Yeah, she had things to say, you know. So it was just kind of funny that, like, oh, this whole fight, this whole thing that Monique talked about, like, I'm stepping out of my husband's gigantic, gigantic, gigantic shadow, which is impressive to be – it's a large shadow. And it's like, oh, you are not, like, a keynote speaker. You are not – you are just, like, thank you for coming. There's a coat check downstairs. Remember to tip the valet. Here's the speaker.
Yeah, take care of those growths. So then Charisse shows up with panty lines. I'm like, oh my gosh, fucking Charisse. Like,
panty lines. Is that the name of her new gay? Is this panty lines?
I was like, of course Charisse is wearing granny panties and has panty lines in her dress. So she's like, Monique, if I didn't care for you so much, I would be at the other event. Because this gown stuff, a gown, having to go buy $1,000 gown will wear.
She's just mad that she can't show off her hoverboard underneath that dress. She's
she like, probably no one is. Can I have that no I'm proof. I have no proof she didn't come in on a hoverboard. No proof. Yeah,
like, Charisse, you seem a little bit taller and walking a little smoother. Charisse. Oh, but you're jerking forward and backwards a little bit, huh? You okay?
Charisse is just turning in circles, you guys. She's like, whoa.
Something is sucking up Charisse's gown from underneath. Her Her gown seems to be getting caught up all in her legs. Why are her feet glowing? So, yeah. So meanwhile, we then see Robin talking to a guest being like, women are so important to me, and I feel like we can do some really great things. I'm like, wow, that's some really great inspiration.
Women are so important to me. Karen's a slut. Go tell all your friends. She's cheating on her husband, and she's ripping people off. Okay. So Giselle comes in, and she's like, oh, Robin, I feel empowered. Now, how do you feel that Charisse isn't here? I'm like, Jesus, can she just enjoy her damn Hooters?
I guess empowerment does not include having the agency to choose between going to one event versus another. You know, I guess that's what empowerment means now. I mean, honestly, don't make me take Sasha aside. She said Monique invited her first. Okay, so that's that.
Yeah, she's like, well, I thought she was a very close friend, and if it's something of this magnitude, you'd want to be there to support your friend, right? Right? Right?
Yeah.
No one cares.
But then Giselle's like, let's focus it onto a main cast member, so Karen should be here too. And I was like, yeah, I listened to her on the phone for 2 hours. Drunk Karen for 2 hours. She should be here.
Yeah, and then you took that information, went to all the ladies, and blabbed on her and mocked her behind her back. So fuck
That's
off,
true too.
Lady.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, to be fair, it was Karen. I would do the same thing.
Yeah, but to be like, oh, I can't believe Karen would act like this after I did her the huge favor of listening to her on the phone. Like,
yeah. So Ashley and Candace arrive at Robin's event. It's like, I always forget Candace is on this show. Like, there was like a spark earlier in the season where I was like, okay, she's going to fit in. She's going to start some shit. But no, she's just in her own weird track.
Yeah, so we're cutting back and forth, and Candace really has not much to say. But I did like Candace. I like Candace's reason for being there. She's like, well, Robin and I are still getting to know each other. So I'm already close with her. So I want to get closer to Monique. So I'm coming to her event instead of the person I'm close to. Makes sense? Oh, no. Like, huh?
Well, yeah, she's already close with Monique, so she's coming to Robin. She's like, I can't help but notice that there's a drop ceiling and you decided not to put flowers on that. What was your thought process behind that, Robin? That's why I came. I want to get inside your head.
Did your mother not give you enough money? Because that's cold. And so Giselle and Robin decide that they're going to go to this next charity event and yell at Karen. They're going to go to Karen's charity event later and yell at Karen again, because that's
sounds
what these
familiar.
Two do.
Yeah that's what sounds these familiar. So meanwhile, back at the other one, Kendall shows up to Monique's event because Monique invited her, obviously. And Charisse is like, oh. And then all of a sudden, Charisse goes, during the Hurricane Harvey event, she invited all my friends. And now she has one extra seat left. She fills it with one of my friends of 18 years. Really? I'm like, okay, you know what? Last week, or whenever it was, you bragged because you said, Monique asked me to bring some people, and guess what? I delivered in spades. I'm like, you brought those people.
Charisse is just always turning on whoever she can. She's a horrible, horrible human being. I have to say, out of all of these people that we cover on Bravo, she's one of the worst human beings we see.
She is. But you know what? The worst part about this, on top of it, is like, it's more. She's becoming more like, she's becoming more necessary to me in the show. Like, she's just so, like, she really is so awful. Like, just really terrible, but like, I'm starting to be like, yeah, I think I would take a Charisse over a Candace, though.
Yeah.
Just because Charisse is, like, ridiculously terrible.
So Monique sees that she's mad. She's like, are you okay? Your face. Like, what's wrong with it? And she's like, I didn't know you communicated with her like that. Okay. We've breached a communication level. You've passed a Charisse-approved communication level. Okay.
Yeah. You didn't. Monique, you did not have clearance to talk to Kendall, so...
Yes.
Shasha clearance. So then Karen's like, well, let's speak of great cause. I would be remiss if I didn't invite you to the O'Huger charity dinner. You're like, what? O'Huger. Is that like a restaurant, a neighborhood restaurant, bar and grill, O'Huger's?
Lots of meat pies. Lots of meat pies. So Monique is like, this is messy that Karen is doing that. I'm like, she's messy? You're the one who invited Kendall. Like, what the hell, people? So then Karen's like, well, if we're going to get down to it, I've known Kendall longer than I've known Giselle. So, look, I like open wallets, and there's no mess here. There is no mess here.
Pizzo Mahado, because there was no mess here. It's been washed up. this is when we see Monique and Robin talking at their events. And then Robin's like, I want to inspire people to become entrepreneurs and starting their own business. I'm like, Okay.
She's like, empires.
Yeah, empires.
Empires.
So Karen's now talking to Kendall again, and she's like, oh, honey, you have to come. Like, guess what? And your invitation, it's comped. It's on Icon Enterprises.
Then Charisse hears, and she goes, these are the nuts.
I would be pissed too. Especially when we then find out the real shadiness going on here is that they have to make their checks out to Icon Enterprises, which is Karen's company for her hair. I mean,
this is
like,
such bullshit. Oh my God. Karen is fun to watch, but you want to talk about a terrible person throwing an Alzheimer's event when you're taking the money through your personal business. That is disgusting, okay?
It is.
I don't care how you try and slice that up or make yourself look okay. That is a disgusting action, lady.
It's also like lazy embezzlement, okay? Like if these numbskulls can figure it out also, they're all like, well, she just wants to get the write-off herself. She doesn't want us to get the write-off. It's like they all figured it out. Like you gotta up your con game, Karen.
I love how nobody on this show lets her get away with it. They just start talking right in front of her face.
Well, and her reasoning is so typical Karen, which is what I love. She's like, well, I am hosting this, so it's going through my business, so my accountants can track all the funds. They'll be donated to Alzheimer's Association directly. I'm like, or you can set up a nonprofit and have those accountants look at it through there, too. Like, accountants still work for nonprofits, too. Like, you can still track funds with a nonprofit.
Well, they totally call her out. They're like, she's doing that so she can get the big... She can take all this money from people and then get the tax write-off.
Yeah.
All for herself.
Exactly. And so then they confront her, and she's like, I could do my dinner any motherfucking way I want to. Thank you for coming, and never ask me again.
Y'all being messes. Y'all being messes.
Now, where's my sea bass?
Mm-hmm. So then Ashley's like, so the charity. And Robin's like, she just wants a tax write-off. So then Robin's at a foreclosure.
Yeah.
Now
I thought it was her next house, yeah.
Oh, well, it's like the Property Brothers where you only see one room done. And they're like, we did your entire house. But, you know, you go upstairs and, like, you have to bust down the doors to get them open and stuff.
They just brought Robin through there. It was just like I was gonna make a weird reverse Ghostbusters joke, but I'm like, yeah, I'm not in the mood. It was hard. I was like, I'm gonna stick in my priv lane today. Yeah.
You're in a Robin scene, so it like takes a lot more energy.
I was gonna say that she was scaring away the ghosts. Mm. That's what they brought her there, but like I was like, she's not scary, so why am I saying that?
Yeah. She's basically just getting money from her mom to do businesses. Like, let's face it, okay?
Ghosts
she's like,
empowered.
I'm empowered. I'm FaceTiming my mom for money.
The ghosts are leaving because they're like, we don't want to learn about how we can start our own jobs. Like, our job is haunting this house, and you're kind of, like, ruining it right now. So we'll just go somewhere else.
So have you noticed that every house that Robin does, she's like, well, I think the budget should be about 50 grand. Like, you don't even know what you're doing. Every budget you ever had says this is going to take 50 grand, you know?
Yeah.
That's why you never do business with someone named Robin. Nothing ever takes 50 grand on the dot, like, especially two houses in a row.
Have you never seen Flip or Flop? It's always 100 grand for every single thing that Torek and Christina do.
Well,
you know? And that doesn't even include the shotguns. Yeah.
Doesn't even include the shotguns.
Torek. Short Torek, I thought it'd be fun to put some of your shotguns on this backsplash, Torek. I got subway tile.
So then Candy goes with her husband to look at a new wedding venue because she's like, last time I was in a wedding venue, I left crying. And I'm hoping that bringing Chris to Gaylord is a more positive experience. Leave the mama drama at home.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, let's see what terrible things Candace is going to do now. So they get there, and Chris is like, listen, baby, you can have whatever you can have as many people as you want because it's a huge room with beautiful, you know, glass windows and stuff. He's like, baby, you can have as many people as you want. You just have to make cutbacks at other places. She's like, okay, well, I want a candy table or a dessert table. And they're like, you can have both. Okay, I want to have both. And then I want to have an oversized dance floor. And the ceiling, can we just like wrap the ceiling with a floral situation and a chandelier? Can we have like maybe some aerialists, maybe like a fire pit that only comes out for like 3 minutes and then goes away? Can we do that? Tiger?
Are there other cushion options? Like, seriously, these cushions. Like, you are too much, okay? So then the lady's like, well, you know, money. And Chris is like, okay,
here's what we're starting with. $165,000, which means they've already asked for more money from the dad without even knowing that they need that much more money.
Yeah, you know, which is already a very high budget, by the way.
She's a total brat. So total then brat. He starts doing math, and they do, like, this beautiful mind.
Yeah, beautiful mind.
Overlay, where it's just, like, they show all these numbers going over Candace's head.
Yeah, and she... All she's thinking about is flowers on the ceiling. I mean, flowers on the ceiling. And the best, this is the moment I was like, you know what, Candace, you need to shut up right now. Because she goes, you know what, I'm from a broken home, and I just have always felt this need to make a relationship work. And, like, what better way to make a relationship work than by starting with a bang to show that you really are committed to this relationship? I'm like, do not mask your desire for some over-the-top flowers on the ceiling wedding because you're on a broken home. Don't blame this on your mother. Like, oh, well, you know, that's basically what she's doing. Like, I wouldn't want such an expensive wedding, but it's because you guys broke up and now it's part of my psyche.
Also, she doesn't get symbolism at all. Like, the venue literally has a broken ceiling. Like, the design of the ceiling is like pieces hanging off the ceiling. It's like a broken ceiling. Like, come on, look up. Look up.
Well, at least not a Wednesday wedding.
Well, we don't know yet.
So yeah, that's Chris true. And Ma Monique go for a mani-pedi.
I
won't be needing color, bruh.
Yeah. So they go to this mani-pedi. They sit down in those spa chairs. And guess what Monique does? She pulls out a bottle of wine from her bag.
This is so her.
Yeah. Like... way to dispel the notion that you may have a drinking problem. You brought an entire bottle of wine.
Well, I only brought one, and it's not a martini, so totally different. So then she has the same disease that Karen has, where she thinks she's working, which is, this is my favorite thing about Monique. She's always like, oh my God, it's been so hard doing everything that I'm doing. I'm starting a blog called Working. It's called
Not for Lazy Moms.
Not for Lazy Moms.
I guess it's for drunk moms. She's like, it's a community for moms to talk about natural remedies. I'm like, that's called the internet. Okay. Like,
What totally not lazy people are doing, reading blogs.
Totally not. She's like, you know, you can make ginseng drinks and stuff like that. You know, it's like, you know, not for lazy people, you know. I'm like, I don't think it's lazy just to go get some medicine. I think the laziness is not getting the medicine.
So funny. So she's like, this is our date night because I've been working so hard. And he's like,
it's been a minute.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, this is all about new age moms, you know? We're going to talk about new kinds of remedies, you know, ginger and ginger.
Martinis. Here's a way. Are you having issues with your driving? Here's a way to remedy that. Martinis.
I've been operating under your umbrella for so long. It's nice to do something for myself with your umbrella's money. What are you doing for yourself? Get out of here. I'm sick of being in your shadow, but I love your shadow's money. So I'm busy now with your money, shadow.
Yeah, he's like, well, I just want some more time.
I'd prefer you were at home with the kids. When you gonna give me more babies? Why are you crying?
Who's gonna feed the fish? Hey, did you notice that you had our daughter feed the fish? Hashtag not for lazy moms.
So an even more romantic date night. Michael and Ashley.
Oh, God. This scene actually got me really mad.
This guy's such an asshole.
What a prick.
Oh, my God.
So it starts off well enough. You know it's going to be bad because they always have, like, at the 30-minute mark, they always have a date night that just goes totally awry. So
here's what happens before every single date night, I can guarantee you, behind the scenes. She's like, you might go have a date night. It's a shooting night. And he's like, well, I do. I'd love to see you, Ashley, but I don't want to talk about... babies. I don't want to talk about this, that. And she's like, okay. And then the second the cameras roll, he's like, what about babies? He's like, damn it, Ashley, I'm not talking about this on TV.
Yeah, but you know, that's his wife. He knows, because she does that to everyone, you know? So at first it's like all fine. It's like, cheers to things are going well at work. Things are expanding, whatever. And she's like, let's talk about babies. So he's like, well, I don't want to ruin the night about talking about babies because that involves copulation. I'm not there yet, girl. So I just made him British. But basically she wants to have a baby, and she wants to know if for sure, like, she wants to get a definite answer from him about whether or not they will be having babies. And I'm just like, what really annoys me already about the situation, we haven't even delved into the scene, is that, like, he makes these demands on her, like these ultimatums about her mother, you know, like she has to do this, she has to do that. And yet when she said, like, hey, if we're getting married, I want to have a baby, that's non-negotiable, he has no problem welching on her demands. And then, but he roasts her for having a hard time with his demands.
Yeah, and they made a montage of him saying, well, we can have a baby when the restaurant breaks even. We can have a baby when the restaurant breaks even. And they show him over the years saying it multiple times. I'm like, but is it breaking even? I know that they're alluding to the fact that the restaurant's still open, and so now it's time to have babies. But nobody ever says if that restaurant's breaking even. So I'm like, I'm not sure whose side to be on. But then he gets really, really low. Because she's like, well, if we wait, it's going to be harder to separate. which is an odd argument. I guess not for these two. But then he's like, well, the truth is, and he licks his lips and looks around and just pretends that he doesn't have, like, a gaping open wound on his nose. He's like, the truth is,
thank you.
I need you to push away from your mother because I don't want you to raise your children the way your mother raised you. It's like, what?
Yeah. Wow.
Low, sir.
Well, guess what, sir? You also get to raise the child too, okay? So, like, by you even saying that, aside from the fact that that's, like, really insulting to Ashley, it's also, you're basically revealing that you don't want to have any part of the rearing. You are just going to show up, pat the kid on the head, and go to sleep, okay?
Yeah, pretty much.
So it was, like, really obnoxious, especially because it was, like, not, you know, this was not really true. He was basically... He just doesn't want to have kids for probably many questionable reasons. And, you know, she's cornered him, so he's just going to lash back by putting it back on the mom situation. So, like, now she's gotten the mom out of – it seems like she's gotten the mom out of the picture, right? And now he's still going to go back to the mom and still make her feel bad about the mom. Like, that's, like – that's fucked up.
Yeah, I think it's all money because he said last week he – you know, he's still not quite sure if she's with him for his money or not. And her re-signing a prenup really showed him that, you know, it's on the path of showing him that she's in the right place. And I think that when you have a child, then that negates a lot of stuff in your prenup. Because whether or not you get the alimony, you definitely get child support. You can't have, like, a prenup for babies.
I think it's two things. Well, there could be that. I think one is he just likes having a pretty young thing on his arm, and he doesn't really want any more commitment beyond that. I don't think – maybe he just doesn't really see her as an equal. He just is like, I just got a pretty young gal, and he's like – that makes him feel cool. And then the second thing, you know, it's sort of craven to theorize about that. I feel like we're beyond this in society, but, like, there has been, like, a sort of, like, a gay question hanging over him, and if she is his beard, not really saying whether or not that's true or not, especially the Grindr rumors, who knows, but if that were a case, then of course he doesn't want – well, then he – not of course he doesn't want to have kids, but it's more like he's not in the relationship probably for the right reasons then, if that were to be a true thing. But even if that were off the table, I think that he just likes having a hot girl on his arm for whatever motive, and he doesn't want to be entangled beyond that.
Mm-hmm. He's gross, and she's gross for staying there.
Yeah, right. and then he goes, "Don't you remember, like, why we spent time apart? Because you showed me the effect that your mom had on you in relation to looking after children." It's like you're putting it all on her. Like, no,
yeah,
sir.
He's disgusting. And I guess this leads me to my main question: if you're not with him for his money, then why the fuck are you with him? He's an asshole. He's not cute. He's some old dude with a gaping wound on his face. Like, what is wrong with you? So tell me a reason you actually love him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because right now I'm not believing either one of you about anything.
Yeah. So then we go over to Karen, Raven, and Ray driving off to the O'Huger charity dinner,
I have to point this out. They show them coming down the stairs, and I'm like, is that an ankle monitor on Karen under her ball gown? It's like a do not run monitor. I don't know if she hurt her ankle or what, but I was like, girl, you know that's probably an ankle monitor under there.
I've been developing a new sort of Huger Fitbit. It goes on your ankle, and it's so committed to your fitness that the only one who can take it off is in a proper state authority.
It tracks you by your scent.
So they get there. We see Aunt Dot, who we haven't heard from in a while. And I think I saw their friend from season one. Remember they had their friend who was a lawyer season one. She seemed like really smart and bright. And then she got into some crazy legal situation. She got disbarred. I think I saw her.
Well, I saw Carson Kressley hanging out with Matt. I was like, yes. What is happening? Why Carson is this Kressley. Happening?
Yeah. So while they're doing that, Robin and Giselle are having a pre-event dinner somewhere. They know, they're like, there will not be food at Karen's dinner. It's called a dinner, but in name only.
Let's stop for some chicken fingers.
Well, that's good, because I will not eat Karen's chicken fingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Robin's like, well, what should we do? And she's like, well, I say we get over there and you tell her about herself. You just say, Karen, really? Karen, really? Karen, really? And then Robin's yeah. like,
well, we need to tell her about herself. I mean, there's no apology for not coming to my event. That's fine. But how about apologize for being a fucking liar?
And then Giselle goes, yes, nobody is falling for the banana in the tailpipe. I was like, okay, good Beverly Hills Cop reference. But otherwise, what are you talking about?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I know she's referring to that scene, but I didn't understand how it connected to this show. But anyway. So then over at Karen's, at the O'Huger charity dinner event, Michael and Ashley show up, and Michael is already cranky. And this is one of those moments where I was actually identifying with him. He's like, oh, I tell you, if there's no food, I'm out of here. Like, that's me, 100%.
So this is Robin and Giselle logic, okay? Giselle goes, well, Karen warned me that Kendall's going to be there, and that she warned me is shady, because she's going to try and do something. And I'm like, you're an idiot. Her warning you that she's going to be there is not, it's like the opposite of shady. It's saying, like, I'm not doing this to trick you into walking into a situation on camera. This bitch has been hired by production, and she's going to be at the party.
You know what? I can't tell. I feel like, on the one hand, you're absolutely right. On the other hand, it is Karen. I mean, she could have just, like, well, that's true. Production did invite her to the party. So, I mean that's what we're going to be behind
that. She's hired. They had a pre-scene with her, and now she's mic'd up at a party. She got hired into the cast. I mean, I know yeah. that it's still shady that Karen invited her at all, but Karen calling to warn her and saying, this bitch is going to be at the party, watch out, is a warning. And Giselle's like, that proves that she's an awful person.
But I also, the thing is, it's Karen. And, like, she hides behind that reasoning. She'll text that to Giselle, knowing that she can then say, oh, I was just trying to warn you. When, in fact, she's sitting there, like, sitting back, rubbing her palms together and excited to see what's going to happen. So, and Giselle knows that. So it's sort of hard to read. I actually don't know where I fall on it.
Well, Karen is a horrible person. I mean, that's not really the argument. Of course she's a horrible person. She's taking your, she's, like, Giselle funneling money on national way. TV. You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like,
yeah,
she's terrible. Like, it's just that I think that was actually something nice that a terrible person did for another yeah. terrible person, you know.
Exactly. So then we're back at Karen's event, and Charisse is there with a tall hot dude named Ray, and she's like, young guys like me, just letting you know. I'm like, shut up, Charisse. Yeah. You paid him.
No kidding, everybody likes to get their check cut.
Yeah.
By the way, our friend Momo sent us this text, which I think now is a good time to read.
Okay.
It is an Instagram. Let me pull it up. Monique. She sent us this text. So, wait, why can't it open the page?
Is it gone?
Okay, here it is.
Okay.
When Charisse commented, for the record, Therese doesn't care about who is friends with who. I am a connector that puts people together. The thing that I was annoyed with was portrayed like a who's friends with whom or has become friends with my friends. How was it portrayed that way? You said it. You said yeah. that, Charisse. I honestly do not care about who develops a friendship. The real issue is much deeper than what you are seeing. It's called editing. I normally don't respond on social media, but it bothers me when people are writing opinions of me and my character without knowing me or the full story. I felt impelled. Impelled. She felt, it's like a mix between compelled and impaled. I felt impelled to say something. Monique can be friends with whoever she wants, and I really don't care who she chooses. I wish her the best, and the best to all that are concerned about it, a life more interesting than this. Sending positive vibes to everybody, kissy face, kissy face. The only thing on Theresa's mind is living her best life. Stay blessed, friends.
I just want you to know that noise I made was the sound of her hoverboard backing up. Just to add flavor to it all, you
She's
know?
Like, ouch, I got impaled by my hoverboard. Cherise, nobody put those words in your mouth. You said them, okay? And if you don't remember, ask the hooker you brought. He probably does. Girl.
Okay. So let's see. So Kendall shows up, and Cherise is just shooting these angry eyes because she's, you know, like, another one of my friends being co-opted that I'm happy to have friends with. I'm a connector, but I'm editing social media. Here I am, impelled.
Impelled. Is that a pun?
Is that a pun? Is that a word?
So, Robin's like, look, I just want to go in and out. And Giselle's like, this is the start and the over. Whatever she says. She says something that's like stupid. And she's like, is anybody going to give a shit for wearing jeans? And she's like, sheep will not run from us. And Robin's like,
this is not an ambush. It's a message. It's a message.
It's an ambush in a bottle. I mean, a message in a bottle.
Ambush in a bottle. Empire. Sending out an SOS.
So, Robin, well, one thing I did like was that Robin's like, I'm writing my check to the Alzheimer's Association so I can get my write off. I was like, that's smart. That's smart because this whole thing is shady.
Mm-hmm. We need to make sure it's not going to her plastic surgery fund.
So Cherise, is telling the girls, this is Kendall. She's the ex, whatever.
Thumb and Vex.
She's like turning in three circles. So nobody understands what you're saying.
Look, I'm Wonder Woman now. Wonder Tata. Yeah. So the women are laughing that Karen invited Kendall, despite saying that she didn't want the drama because, like, obviously she wanted, like, because Karen made a whole big thing, like, there'll be no drama tonight. No, it won't be, like, just like the sentiment. No drama. No drama. No drama. Matt. No drama, Matt. But then she invites Kendall. So, of course, she wants drama.
Yes.
So, Giselle shows up and she's like, I am ready to tell Karen about herself from head to toe.
This ain't no half step and shimmy shimmy. It's like, what? Yeah. And Robin's like, wait a minute. I can't wait to tell her about herself, but what do we want from this again?
Yeah, they're like,
what's our goal? And she's like, we want her to know where we stand. This is no shimmy shimmy.
And then Ashley's talking to Karen, being like, I really like Kendall. And Karen's like, yes, she's very beautiful and very intelligent. Very, very intelligent. Very, yes, yes, very intelligent. She knows that when it's your birthday, you sit in the middle and she sits on the side. Very intelligent.
And Ashley's like, but won't Giselle be shocked? And she goes, I told Giselle. I told her about this. And then Ashley's like, that's proof that there's no friendship there. And then Giselle walks in with her eyes really wide, just looking around like, where is she? Where is she?
Where is she? Yeah. But I don't think anything's going to happen with it because in the scenes for next week, there wasn't even any sort of like preview, unless I missed it, of Giselle and Kendall having a moment. They just didn't even show what happened.
No, they just show Giselle and Kendall like on a patio somewhere. And Giselle's like, well, the thing is, you come at me and you miss, but I come at you and I don't miss. I'm like, okay, well, now you're just stealing from Bethany. So
yeah.
Have fun, take a shot. Giselle, you're rotten. I'm so glad. I hope this lady does well against Giselle. I'm rooting for the anti-Giselle player, Kendall. You go, Kendall.
Yeah, you go. So anyway, that was basically it for Potomac. Another fun episode. We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow we're going to talk Million Dollar Listing New York. That should
yes.
be fun.
Yes, yes.
Even we'll though I cannot stand Frederick, but I do love that Steve Gold.
Oh, we're going to check in with the Frederick until Orange County comes back. Or maybe just sample different things every week. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But for tomorrow, it's Real Housewives of New York. So everybody, go get your Watch What Crappens live tickets and your What's the Matter? What's Going On? What's Happening shirt over at watchwhatcrappens.com. And we will see you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.